However, for us to understand it properly, we are going to read from the book of Joshua chapter 7. All right? And we're going to read verse 1 up to 2. Okay, let's go there.
But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding a cursed thing, accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai.
In verse 12, jump to verse 12.
Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the cursed from among you.
I'm not saying always, but ever wondered why some battles you try to fight them and you keep on losing? Sometimes it's not your uncle in the village. Sometimes it's not that God is failing to do anything for you. But sometimes it is because there is something that you have to deal with in your own personal life. The people of Israel went to defeat different armies. Starting from Jericho, they actually did a lot of battles. We did actually different Baca. They actually fought difficult battles. And I told you how difficult it was to defeat Baca. Baca was the most fortified city. In fact, it's scripture says you would not defeat them. And I told you they were a superpower. In fact, they were surrounded by a fortification that nobody would penetrate. In fact, the Bible says they defeated that city within a day. However, a place called Ai, they could not defeat Ai. This was a war. The word Ai means a city of ruins. A war which is already broken. There is a heap. The word I means a heap of a war. In other words, there was a war before, but that war had fallen. Meaning to say that it's so easy for a person to go through and attack. But it is this war, the people of Israel were defeated and they failed to conquer. There are so many cities that were fortified and they defeated them. But the city which was not fortified, they failed to conquer. And when they turned back, God said, the reason why you could not, it is because in your midst, there is somebody who did something. There is someone who is hiding a particular sin. Until this sin has been confessed. I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. I'm talking to somebody right here. It doesn't matter where you're watching me from. But if there is something that has not been dealt with, there are certain battles you keep on losing and you will wonder, why am I losing these battles? Imagine winning Jericho. Imagine winning Baca. Imagine winning difficult battles, but you go to Ai where it's already fallen, losing the battle. And God said, the reason is there is someone in your midst must be taken out. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. Some here. In this season where we are in, a season of Salvation Festival, a season of Yom Kippur, it is a season where you must find out which sin is making me lose the battle. Are we here? Yes. Come on, somebody say, are we here?
Yes.
I love what Mark Bishop is saying. He's saying, tonight we are confessing. Some say amen. Trust you me, it's important to actually understand this teaching. Imagine you losing a battle, a place that is already destroyed. And when I was reading scripture, Christ took me into the New Testament. And Jesus said to me, he said, do you know there are many battles? All the battles in life, I have already won them. But believers are failing to win the battles because of what? Sin. And God took me into the scripture, and I went to the book of James chapter 5. And I began reading from verse 13, 14, 15, 16. Do you know what it actually says? It says, is anyone among you suffering?
Is anyone among you suffering?
Okay, underline the word is suffering. Okay, so there is suffering. Okay, go ahead.
Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Did you hear that word, sin? All right, go ahead.
Confess your trespasses to one another.
Simple. So if you see here, now, so there is the word is suffering, and then there's the word is sin. And then the scripture says, if you want a miracle to happen, it says, confess your sins. It continues, says, confess your sins, what? To one another, and pray for one another.
For one another.
Why?
That you may be healed.
Exactly. Now, if you look at scripture there, it says there are things which can only be done after confession. There are things. This is why I've been, last week I was talking about how the enemy can blind people. Do you know what the enemy is using to blind the people in the church nowadays? It's materials. You know what? So many people right now, they attach materials, you know, to God's love. To an extent that the enemy tells them, you know, you must know this, that the devil can promise you money. The devil can promise you prosperity. Do you know the devil came to Jesus and said to Jesus, if you worship me, I'll give you all the monies in the world. There are people right now who indirectly, they are worshiping the devil and they don't even know. They are giving their so much attention to certain things more than they give to God. Are you here? Trust you me. There are people who are giving attention to certain things because the enemy said, if you put more attention to this, you're going to have more money. And guess what? They're actually not having the more money the devil has been saying to them. They'll have more money. Because Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall lose my life shall save it. You understand? Whosoever shall want to save their life, they shall lose it. Are we saying people shouldn't work hard and they shouldn't pray? And you know that's not our doctrine. Our doctrine, our ministry, we believe so much in working hard, being strategists. We are prophetic people. And being prophetic, we are stewards of over God's inheritance. We are people who must be visionary in the society more than anyone else because we are the prophetic breed. I'm talking to somebody, right? We're not saying that, but I'm saying the enemy will whisper to people. In fact, there are people right now who are blinded. All they're thinking is materials, money, this and that and that and that, and not the cross of Jesus. There are people right now who are actually in church because all they are looking for is a miracle. All they are looking for is a breakthrough. And because of that, they are no longer looking at the cross, why Jesus Christ died. I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. I had a wonderful meeting last night with my stewards across the world. How many stewards last night were connected and they were following what we were doing? You see, one of the things I was talking about was on the same. It is time. Scripture says what it says. And we just read it. The place they were supposed to conquer, they could not conquer because of Achan's sin. Achan was one of the soldiers of Israel. This man, he was told there was a word which God spoke. No one must get anything when you are fighting the battle. Do not get a spoil. And scripture says, when they were fighting, he saw a most beautiful gown. Achan saw it. This gown was so precious. He said, this one, I'm going to hide it. When we finish the battle, you know soldiers are able to enter in people's houses, right? When they are fighting, they'll go in anybody's house. So he found a precious cloth and he said, I'm going to hide it. When the battle is over, I'll come back to get it. Can you imagine just that was enough for God to say the whole Israel will lose the battle? Ask yourself this question. Which sin am I hiding? Because some of these things, you may think God is not answering you. Scripture says, the hand of the Lord is not too short that he may not touch you. It is but your own sins have blocked, have hindered you from receiving. Imagine that you stand before God like this. Eh? Before you even pray, you actually know to say, hey, I think that thing is going to block me. It's not like God will not touch you because of sin. But already you, in your mind, I'm talking to somebody, right? In Hebrews 12, verse 1, scripture says what?
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want you to ask this question. Everybody in this place to ask this question. If you are fighting a certain battle in life, as we just read here, scripture says that they were supposed to win this war. In fact, if you can check the word I, what it means. It means a heap of a fallen wall. Can you imagine that they were winning battles with walls, but they failed to win a straightforward victory? There are some miracles in your life that are supposed to be done. There are some healings in your family that are supposed to be done. But scripture says that because of something that is being hidden. I thought it was an Old Testament thing only. No. In the New Testament, it says what? It says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Meaning to say that failure to confess, hiding what you know is troubling you, can actually lead you not to be what God wants you to be. There are miracles, there are victories that God wants you to win. But if there is something that has been hidden, I pray in this season that you actually denounce it. Are you here? So God was telling me, he took me into different philosophies. And God, he was showing me what is happening in the world. And he told me, he said, do you know that the devil right now, he is using different ideologies, schools, universities, and philosophies to penetrate in people's minds and brains. Am I talking to you? There is what is known as hedonism. Hedonism. Hedonistic. Hedonist. Hedonism, it is a type of belief where a person moves from normal morals of the divine nature, where you actually are made, where you actually know how God wants you to live, into becoming a person who is affiliated with the pleasure. Are you there? So when you see people who are saying, I can't feel, I can't live without this. I just want to do this. What the enemy is trying to do is trying to make you a hedonist. A hedonist. Where pleasure begins to drive you, not the Spirit of God. Am I speaking to you? Tonight, I pray to God that every person must reflect. These are the holy days we are in. And as tomorrow we celebrate our salvation, let us use this day, let us use this season to denounce, to lay aside every sin that easily ensnares. Put aside every weight. As I'm speaking right now, as I said earlier on, this should be a message that must go to an individual. This message is for an individual. And tonight I want to finish these words by saying this to all of you. How did they deal with the issue? Maybe before we even go to how they dealt with it, let's go to Psalms 51 verse 5, where this issue is related to Avon, iniquity.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me.
Are you there?
Mm.
Okay, let me just share this with you. Maybe you do not know this story. It's not written in the Bible, but in the book of Psalms, David mentions it most of the, but there's no story. But when you see what David was writing, and when you read the Hebrew Torah, you're going to understand this story even much way better. So Moses, he's a father. We all know that his father was Jesse. Are you there? And he was a descendant of the most famous man, Boaz. And we all know that the wife of Boaz was not from Israel. She followed the mother-in-law by the name who? Who was the mother-in-law? Naomi. So Naomi was the mother-in-law. Naomi was a Jew. She was from Israel. And she had a daughter-in-law. Unfortunately, her son died, and she wanted to leave the daughter-in-law in which country? In Moab. But the daughter-in-law said, I will not stay. Where you will go, I will go. Your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people. And she came and got married to who? To Boaz. Now, by tradition, you need to understand that Moab and Israel, until today, there is extreme serious hatred. The hatred is egregious, extreme. What it means, Why? Because when the people of Israel were coming from Egypt, they wanted to pass through Moab. But Moab refused. You cannot pass through our country. From that moment, the enmity between Moab and Israel became so sincere. To an extent that when Boaz married a Moabite woman, there was so much hatred. Are you following?
Yes.
You must actually understand this story, what actually happened. When Jesse was born, he had children. Amongst the children, and you have to know that the children which were born from Jesse were half-caste. From Moabite and from Israel. Are you here?
Yes.
You must know this story. And because of that, there was a serious hatred where people were hating them to say, you are from Moabites. Your seed is from Moabite. And eventually, when you read from the Torah, when you also read from the book of Psalms, it now makes sense. It says that the father of David, because of that, he wanted actually to leave, to divorce his wife, because he also had married a Moabite, Jesse. And because of this, he told his wife to say, I don't want you to sleep in my room. So he was sleeping in a different room. His wife was sleeping in a different room. And they had a woman who was working for them, a lady who was working for them. And she was sleeping in a different room. And he told the lady that I'm going to come in your room tonight. And the lady went to the mother and said, Mom, I want just to warn you that your husband was to come into what? My room tonight. So let's swap. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
So they swapped. And the lady went into the room where actually the husband thought she left the worker there. And the wife went in the actual room. And the wife became pregnant. And Jesus said, I never touched you. How did you become pregnant? This is why the whole book of Psalms, David is complaining, where actually his father was saying, you are not my son. So the whole reason why David was so much rejected was because, in fact, David was even saying, I was born in sin. If you see the scripture there, he was so convinced that he was born in sin. Are you here? Because the father was not putting him amongst his children. He was not amongst his children. Another proof to show you more that the father didn't count him as a child, it is when a prophet Samuel came and said, bring all your children here. He brought all his kids, plus those who were at the war. There were other soldiers, sons who were soldiers, who were in the battlefield. He invited them to come back. But one man was not called forth, and his name was called David. Because in his mind, he was born in sin. The wife became pregnant of another man outside the house. And he said, all my kids are here. And the prophet said, there is one who is not here. In fact, in those days, there was no DNA test. The DNA test was a prophet. And that was the day the prophet pronounced to say that he is your son. Unfortunately, it took time for them to believe that it's true. That is why his own brothers hated him the most. I'm trying to talk to somebody, right? If you read the scripture, his brothers hated him the most because they never believed that he was actually their blood brother. Am I speaking to you? But imagine this, that somebody who is thinking that maybe it's true, and this is David, he's actually thinking, maybe it's true, I was not born from my mother. He's still confessing the sin. He says, Lord, I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. Are you here? Can you imagine what more you, that you actually know that this is the sin I have committed. This is the weakness I have. This is the problem I have. Not the way you are trying to think, to say, maybe my mom, maybe my dad did something. So what was the way out? It was so simple. God said, I want you to take Achan, stone him to death. The one that is bringing in sin must be stoned to death. Today, the spirit that causes the sin must be cast out. The difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is so simple. In the Old Testament, if it is you who's sinning, they were casting you out. In the New Testament, they were casting out the spirit that causes you. You're not getting it. In the Old Testament, they were casting out who? You, the person. You'll be stoned to death. In the New Testament, Jesus says, no, we will not cast out the whole person. We'll only remove what? The spirit causing the person to sin. So tonight, tomorrow, this whole week, I'm calling for each one of you to be in prayer. This is an alarm. This is a prophetic call. And what happened? Immediately they did that. When they went to Achan, when they discovered it was Achan, when they took Achan out and stoned Achan, they went back to the battle. What they were failing to defeat, they won the battle. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, you will conquer the walls of Ai. These are foreign hips. We shouldn't struggle to conquer this enemy. Every sin must be confessed. Are you here, somebody? Now, I want you to read again the same chapter, and I want us to go to verse 13 of Joshua, chapter 7.
Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you.
You cannot stand before your enemy until you remove the accursed thing from among you. Did you hear that? You cannot what? Stand against your enemies. Listen to me very well. I know we are praying. I know we are fasting. I know we believe in God. I know there are things we're looking for God to do for us. But scripture says there are things we will not stand against if we have not dealt with something within us. This is a call. And I pray such messages. I know most people, they are not favorable, because the Bible says in the last days, people shall heap for themselves preachers who will tell them what their ears are itching to hear. Tonight, I have come here as a prophetic voice. My message tonight is a trumpet. It's a trumpet. Amen. The Lord says, make your ways. Repent, the Lord says so. And how do we deal with the enemy? It's so simple. Number one, remove the accursed thing. That sin, take it out. Number one. Number two, ambush. Use the ambush strategy. When they did this, when they actually sanctified themselves and removed the accursed thing from amongst them, the next thing they did was to ambush the enemy. How I was defeated, it was because of an ambush. An ambush, it is when you take the enemy by surprise. When one day you just wake up in the morning, and that day could be this morning, tomorrow morning. When you wake up at night, and could be tonight, where you say, tonight, I am leaving this. It's an ambush. Somebody say ambush. In Joshua 8, verse 2, we see an ambush strategy where the enemy was taken by surprise. Can you read it?
And you shall do to Ai as its king, as you did to Jericho.
Exactly.
And its king.
Uh-huh.
Only its spoil and its cattle you shall not take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it.
Somebody say an ambush. It's an ambush. You know, there are so many things here. Most people think sin. You know, I don't know how you describe the word sin. But listen to me. The most dangerous sin is disobedience. One time God told me, he said to me, partial disobedience is disobedience. God told me, he said, go and give that person and that person and that person. Go and give them this. You hear that? When I went there, I actually drove almost 400 kilometers to that place. When I went there, you know, I asked for those people because I know them. I knew them in my childhood. I asked for those people and they said, oh, two of them are there, but one is not here today. So I gave the things to two people and decided to drive back to come here. When I arrived here tonight, God told me, he said, you have not done it. I said, God, I've obeyed. I went. I did what you said I should do. God said, no, I didn't say it in this way. Why have you disobeyed me? I said, but God, I gave. And imagine it was like a dream. I was dreaming where I was with a person, and that person, I know him very well. And he was asking me to say, but were you not told to go and do this? And I had a conversation in a dream with a person. And the person was asking me to say, oh, so did you give those things? I said, I gave. He said, but what about the third one? I said, no, the third one, I left it with someone to deliver. And the person was arguing with me. And he was saying, but that's not what I told you. I said, you should give. I didn't say partial obedience. You need total obedience. When I woke up the following morning, I had to drive back. How many things do we think we're doing right when in fact we're actually disobeying God? How many things? God wants us to behave as he wants us to. Once we do this, that victory of I is guaranteed. And do you know how we're going to win? We'll even capture the king of Ai and hang him by the tree.
Amen.
In scripture, the Bible says in Joshua 8, verse 28.
So Joshua bent Ai and made it a heap forever.
Exactly.
A desolation to this day.
Go ahead. That's what we have to do.
And the king of Ai, he hanged on the tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day.
Are we here? What was the remedy to this defeat? What was the secret for this victory? I want everybody to answer me this question. What made this victory possible? It didn't take a fasting. Please, some of the fastings you're doing, you're just wasting time. Just cast out anything that you know is blocking you. Cast out what you know, what you think is blocking you. Cast it out. Do you know what made Moses different from the rest of all other people? It was repentance. When they were accusing Moses, the man had already repented. He had fixed the issue with the Lord. I'm talking to somebody. The man had fixed the matter. And how do we know? Because God said it. You know? Because God said it. How do we know? God said it. God said, hey. Hey. He said, if there is anyone amongst you who's so humble, it is Moses. The man was repenting quickly. If there is a man in the Bible who was so successful, was also David. The man knew how to speak to the Lord quickly and fix things. Tonight, God is calling for us. Whatsoever sin we have ever done, whether last year, 2 years, last week, tonight, we are casting them out. Somebody, some of the righteousness of God. We are praying. We are going to pray. You will ask the Lord anywhere else because we're just in a season. We being a prophetic ministry, we believe in repentance. We believe in a prayer of forgiveness. You will ask the Lord, forgive me. And I want everybody else to go in a prayer. Just ask the Lord and we're going to pray. I've told you this already. Even if you say, Lord, I sin against you. Even if you don't even know what you're talking about. But repentance is repentance. You must know this. When God is calling, when he says, I want you to repent in this season, you just have to. The difference between King Saul and David was so simple. Repentance. 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 Tonight, I want everybody else to ask the Lord to forgive our sins. And I've told you this. In your mind, do not be blinded by materials. Just say, oh, so I'm repenting so that God can answer my prayer. I want a house. I need this to be done. No, we are repenting because Jesus died for us. I said, Jesus died for us. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. So as we pray, as we speak tonight, each one of us, we are going into this prayer, and everybody else will pray together with me. Just raise up your hands and say these words with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
As I raise my hands.
As I raise my hands.
I humble myself.
I humble myself.
In your presence.
In your presence.
I cast out.
And I cast out.
Any pride.
Any pride.
Of self-righteousness.
Of self-righteousness.
My righteousness.
My righteousness.
Is of you, Lord.
Is of you, O Lord.
I raise my hands.
And I raise my hands.
I ask your forgiveness.
I ask for your forgiveness.
Every area.
Every area.
I have sinned against you.
I have sinned against you.
I come before your presence.
I come before your presence.
With repentance.
With repentance.
I stand in your presence.
And I stand in your presence.
Asking for forgiveness.
Asking for your forgiveness.
O Lord.
O God.
Do not remember
the sins of your servant.
Oh Lord,
brought out
all my transgressions.
Clean me now.
Clean me now.
Clean me now.
By your precious blood.
In
Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.